So Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Fantastic. We'll keep that passage open. I'm going to invite Anthony to come and join us at the front. If you haven't met Anthony before, Ant is one of our elders here at Highfield, serves as a palliative doctor out in Swansea. But I thought it'd be nice, just before you speak, how you might share with us how you came to know Jesus yourself, because people may have seen you around, may have thought you've been a Christian all your life, but yeah, tell us your journey into faith.
Yeah, thank you, and good evening. So I grew up going to church. I grew up going to church every Sunday in a really faithful, loving home. But I didn't understand the gospel, didn't know who Jesus was. The words of scriptures were kind of passing me by, not getting into the heart. And they made no difference to how I live my life. Growing up as a teenager and a young adult, I was very much living for myself. And yet I had a real void, a real emptiness, actually, that for a time I was reflecting on, and that was quite painful, sort of really kept that to myself. You wouldn't have known. I met some people who became really dear friends who knew Jesus, and I could tell they had a hope. They had Jesus, I didn't realize that at the time, but I could see that there was something different about them, and they lovingly told me what I was missing, and so I'm always incredibly grateful for the courage that they had to say hard things to me.
Note to self, people, you know, say hard things to a friend who is from a kind of religious background, but maybe not someone who knows Jesus personally.
And I remember I was slightly randomly on a bus from Nottingham to Oxford. Long story of why I was doing that. But I was opening up John 6, and Jesus says, you know, are you going to leave me too, to his disciples? And they say, we've got nowhere else to go. And that was very much for me, if there was a moment, a time when I knew I had to stop sitting on the fence. I had to say, I'm either living for Jesus or I'm completely, there's no point sort of one foot in, one foot out. And that was the moment where I said, this is true. I don't understand it all, but it's true. And then, God has been incredibly faithful to me in opening up my eyes to how amazing he is.
Amazing. Somewhere between Nottingham and Oxford. Nottingham, not a Christian. Oxford, maybe you are one. So, wow, amazing.
Somewhere
happened on a journey.
Yeah.
Let's pray for Ant. Lord, thank you so much for that powerful work of your grace in his life. And thank you for bringing him to Cardiff and for him to serve as an elder and to serve in lots of different ways with Jen and the family. What a blessing they are. Please speak through him now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wow! You've got to see this. It's incredible. This piece of musical wizardry, this wonderful feat of engineering or sporting prowess, the view from the mountaintop. Come and see. What was the last thing that caused you to say that to someone? Wow, it's incredible. Come and see. We all give praise and see people giving praise every day, whether we realize it or not. Praise, what C.S. Lewis described as inner enjoyments made audible. We speak what we enjoy, what we love. And this term, as Dave said, in our prayer and praise evenings, we're going to look at different aspects of prayer. And this evening, we're just going to spend a few minutes thinking about what Psalm 8 has to tell us about praise, praising God. And it starts, as we've heard, with David, as if he's bursting into the room, shouting at the top of his voice, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." It's almost as though he is desperate for people to know. He can't wait to write this down and then sing it out. And in the rest of the psalm, he outlines why. So we're just going to look briefly at three encouragements to us this evening to praise. And firstly, Psalm 8 says to us, praise the God of creation. The God of creation is an awesome God. Let's look down again at verse 3. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." Back in 1984, Bruce McCandless made the first untethered spacewalk, getting about approximately 100 metres away from his shuttle, as you can see in the photo. A tiny dot in the snapshot of the solar system. He is there, floating in space, completely on his own. Can you imagine what it must have felt like, looking down on the Earth, just around you, the vast expanse of the solar system? And this picture, I think, is a little bit what David is thinking about when he's pondering all that God has made. He tries to think about all of God's creation, and then he contemplates his own life, and he feels the smallness compared to the creator of heaven and earth. Utter insignificance in the face of the cosmic significance of God. We should regularly find ourselves open-mouthed at the God of heaven and earth. And if not, why not? So often is the case with me, walk around with my spiritual eyes closed. Let's stop. Let's slow down. Let's ponder more, like David did. Not giving up work and just sitting around, but in the midst of all that we're doing day to day, we need to find ways to stop and reflect with our eyes open, to consider, to wonder. Maybe this week we can just spend 5 minutes, and as we look around at the world that we live in, the rain that falls from the sky, the stars at night if we get to see them, and we let them take our mind to the God who made them and marvel at him. Bow down, literally, if we need to, in praise. Because the God of creation is an awesome God. But secondly, we praise the God who has called us to praise him. Humankind has been chosen by God to bear his image, Psalm 8 tells us, and to give him praise. Let's look again at verse 2. "Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies." And then in verse 5, "You have made them," human beings, "a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands." It's sometimes easy, isn't it, to think that something isn't really worth very much. Like maybe this bowl. It just looks like a bowl, really, isn't it? I wouldn't really stop and think about it too much if it was in the shop. But it is, in fact, a very rare piece of Chinese pottery. Ru ware, it's called. And a few years ago, this sold for the equivalent of £31 million. And one of the ways you can tell how valuable this is the marks that it has underneath. It's got three particular depressions in the base made by the particularly unique kiln that it was fired on. And David has a similar realization, I think. Human beings, so seemingly insignificant, and yet uniquely bearing the marks of their creator. That the God of creation is not distant, he's not aloof, but he's a God who draws close to humankind. He uniquely chooses them to steward the earth that he's made, and he's crowned them with glory. Instead of insignificance, human beings now have lives with eternal purpose. Our lives matter. Our lives from the dawn of time have now been filled with a meaning that it's almost impossible for us to understand. Chosen by God to bear his image, to care for his creation, and to give him praise. And not because he needs our praise, but because that was what he made us for. To be in perfect relationship with our Creator, delighting in him as he delights in us, his image bearers. So let's find time this week, maybe another 5 minutes, just to praise God for this, that we were made, chosen over all of creation to bear his image. That whatever we feel about what we're going to do tomorrow morning, however difficult the week might be, exams, caring for other people, however painful or stressful, however tiring or repetitive the week might be, these things aren't our ultimate reason for being. From the moment we're born, our lives are filled with an ultimate purpose, which is to praise the God of heaven and earth. But there's a problem, isn't there, that nags away at us as we read these verses, because we don't live this way. None of us do. No human being has ever lived up to their heavenly calling. And so as we read these verses, they jar a little bit, this sense of shame and regret. As we look at the world around and on a global level, we just see how low human beings have fallen. And on a personal level, that these verses, they do not describe me. Well, that brings us to our last point. We praise the God who rescues his people. We praise him because he has given us Jesus. Imagine a king's precious treasure. I don't know, maybe the crown jewels of Buckingham Palace. And one day the king plucks one of the staff, seemingly from nowhere, to be the one to guard the jewels. And not just to guard them, but to point people to them as they file past, to make sure the lights in the cabinet are on. To make sure people file past and everyone can see it clearly. To see the majesty of the king through the jewels on display. But imagine then that they don't do that. That they just get in the way. That they just stand in front of the cabinets. They turn the lights off. And then in the end, they just cover them up. And you can find them in the corner of the room, forcing people to file past them as they tell stories about themselves. The guard of the crown jewels would get fired. And that would be tragic. And yet, not so with God and his people. Even though we have done something infinitely worse as we've rejected our Creator. This psalm is quoted in Hebrews chapter 2, as we looked at last term, as it explains that ultimately these verses find their fulfillment in Jesus, who, as we heard this morning, came to do what humankind, what we could never do, the perfect man, dying a sinner's death. So the sinners, you and I, well, we get to live the life that was going to be taken away from us. We're made new. We're restored. We're forgiven. We're rescued. Now reborn and free to do what we were always meant to do. Praise our kingly God. Not able to do it perfectly yet, but now knowing that we are secure in the arms of the one that Hebrews 2 says makes people holy. So let's think about this life that we now have, and let's rejoice. And as we do so, give him praise. And we'll have a great opportunity to do that later as we come to the Lord's Supper and we remember again what Jesus has done for us. And if this is not you this evening, if you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus, the offer is there. He has come to rescue you. He stands with his arms open and calls you this evening. Maybe you want to come to Christianity Explored, as Dave said, on Thursday evening to find out more. David finishes then where he started. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It really is utterly majestic. One day Jesus will come back and all the world, as we have sung, will know how majestic he is. Everything in heaven and earth will bow down in praise and adoration. And until then, let's live out our calling together as the rescued people of God. And give this awesome God of heaven and earth praise. Wow. He's incredible.